Good afternoon. Thank you, as always, for tuning into the radio program. I would like to talk to you this afternoon about the kind of music that God wants in church, in particular, the idea of having choirs in church. Many people like them, and the employment of choirs and specialized singing groups in the worship assemblies of various congregations have long been debated, and, you know, people wondered, well, is it right or is it wrong? And among the religious groups of the world, this question was settled long ago. They have all kinds of choirs, dressed in all kinds of fancy clothing and doing this and doing that. So we're going to look into that subject for just a few minutes this afternoon. If you would like a tract concerning this subject and some related things, then certainly we'd be happy to get those to you. Just write to the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, P.O. Box 266 at Tompkinsville, Kentucky, 42167, and we would be more than happy to send out some information to you. People in the Churches of Christ have long resisted the idea of having choirs, and there's a good reason why. The Bible demands authority for every practice that we would engage in, and since there is no passage that would authorize having or using a choir, that is, then we have consistently withstood this innovation into the worship of God. Now, it is not withstood because there's any kind of prejudice against the idea of a choir. There are many choirs that produce very many beautiful songs, and not all of these are religious in nature. But it doesn't have anything to do with actually using that in the corporate worship assembly of the church, that is, when all the church is gathered together. The Lord is very clear about what He wants from brethren when it comes to worshiping God, and He requires that when we worship Him, that we do so in a spiritual manner. Now you say, what do you mean by a spiritual manner? Number one, it requires that we do what He said in His Word. And number two, it requires that we do so casting off some of the things that would be of a fleshly or worldly appeal. One of the reasons why people use choirs is because they may feel unacceptable when it comes to people listening to them sing, but they like the idea of other people singing. However, no one can do your worshiping for you. So, first of all, there simply is no authority in God's Word for using choirs. You know, if so, then where is it? Where do they have one in the Bible? But if they didn't have one in the New Testament worship, then why would we have one today? And use it in the worship. Now, secondly, if you look at what the Bible says concerning what we are supposed to do in our worship, Ephesians 5 and verse 19 and Colossians 3 verse 16 are very clear. The Bible tells us to sing, and it tells us to sing one to another. Now, if you have a choir, then, you know, unless everybody takes their turn being in that choir, I know of no sense in which people are singing one to another. You're just, you know, listening to the show. And secondly, the choir itself is something that while it's going on, you're not expected to chime right on in with them. You find that in certain places in the Bible, people were singing where others were not singing. Like, for example, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. We find Paul and Silas singing while other people heard them sing. However, this is similar to a guest or a visitor coming into our worship services, and you know, they wouldn't be expected to understand and know what all is going on at the time and are not necessarily in fellowship with the church there anyway. They just kind of hear what's happening, and that would be similar to what Paul and Silas were doing in jail when they were singing and others were listening. That doesn't mean that Paul and Silas had to be quiet just because they didn't fully understand what's going on. However, when it comes to the idea of a choir, then, you know, you have something that's far different than that. In Acts 16, where Paul and Silas were singing, if that's kind of like having a choir, then I want to ask you this question. If the prisoners had joined in on the singing, then do you think that Paul and Silas would have told them to shut up or instructed them to only listen? Obviously, you know, they wouldn't. That would have been great for them to sing the praises of God as well, wouldn't it? However, the special singing groups today require that once again you sit back and listen to the show. Nowhere does the Bible authorize anyone to assemble to hear somebody else worship, in the sense of, you know, them doing your worshiping for you. But instead, the Bible tells us that each one of us are to participate in the singing. Once again, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. We're to sing one to another. And of course, our singing is to God. We instruct one another, we give all kinds of edification to one another, but it requires your participation. So one of the things, in addition to it not being authorized, that we have with choirs is that it takes away from what I am allowed to do in worship. I cannot speak as to why people are satisfied to let other people worship for them. They may feel uplifted. They may think that it gives them a heightened sense of spirituality. However, just because we feel a certain way or just because we think a certain thing about religion does not make it what God wants. I am firmly convinced that if God wanted choirs in the church, that He would tell us that that's what He wants. But if God doesn't tell us that that's what He wants, instead, if He says, "I want you to sing one to another," then we sing together, and we all participate. And in this way, we are all able to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to encourage you to study upon these things, and I want to get you to thinking about how that God encourages us to do only those things that He tells us are good for us to do. In Colossians 3, in verse 17, the Bible tells us that whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, how can we do everything that we're going to do in religion to the glory of God and in His name, that is, by His authority, if we simply don't have any Bible behind it? But if we do have Scripture behind what we do, then our practices are pleasing unto God, we know that they are spiritual, and we can feel that we are acceptable unto God, as well as knowing mentally that we have done what God is pleased with. It is for the very same reason that we reject the concept of instrumental music in the worship of the church, as we do reject choirs and all the other things that go about them. When I say all the things that go about them, what I mean is this. Take, for example, the dress of people who put on a show in the choir. They get up there, and they're in the choir, and they're singing to everybody else, and for some reason, they almost invariably seem to feel as if they need to dress differently from everybody else. And I apply this to preachers as well. If you feel that you have a uniform that you need to put on or something, then this draws attention to the person and becomes an immodest dress that the Bible teaches us is simply not something that a Christian ought to be a part of or dressed like. Just read the book of 1 Timothy. And as you read in 1 Timothy in chapters 2 through 5, you find that God instructs especially the women that they are to dress in modest apparel. Now, He isn't talking about here apparel that wouldn't keep people from blushing so much as He says modest apparel in the sense of not drawing attention to ourselves in a bodily way. So people who would put on various uniforms for religious purposes and everything, then obviously they are drawing attention to themselves instead of to the spirituality of the worship of God. There is a spiritual nature to our worship, and it is the design of the Mount Gilead Church of Christ to only do those things that God tells us He is happy with. That way we know that we are doing those things that are spiritual, those things that are right. We know that God is pleased. I'm able to participate in the worship instead of letting other people do the participating and me just sitting back listening to whatever's going on. And I know that God is looking down from heaven and says, you know, this is what I'm well pleased in because I've got book, chapter, and verse to back it up. There simply is no substitute for that, and no substitute also for the feeling that you get by knowing that you're on God's side and doing what's right in His eyes. So I encourage you to look into this subject yourself. Ask yourself, is it really right that we should be doing things that you just don't find in the Bible? Now, I'm not talking about things that aren't in the Bible. I mean actions, things that you're actually doing in worship unto God. So if you have that instrument of music and you're worshiping God with it, then it's not the instrument's fault. It's the person behind it. Just like somebody that may use a gun for either self-defense, a good purpose, or somebody that may use it to kill another person for murder, a bad purpose. It's not the gun or the instrument that was used to commit the crime. It's the person that has caused it to be used in a bad way. Certainly, I listen to all kinds of music and enjoy a variety of genres in music, but I certainly do not find that what is done without God's approval, that is, instrumental music in worship, is something that I enjoy because I know God is not looking on it with happiness. And also, I look in the same way at the idea of church choirs. If other people are worshiping for me, and it's not what the Bible tells me to do, in that I am to participate in the worship, then, I'm not satisfied with that. God doesn't want just them to be worshiping for me. He wants me to participate in it so that I might sing to them as well, or with them, as I sing unto God. I encourage you once again in this lesson to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Colossians 3, verse 16, and related passages, and to only do those things that we find in God's Word. Once again, if you have any question about what I've brought out this afternoon, or what it takes to have a religion that goes just by the book and does not swerve to the right hand or to the left, but only does those things that are authorized by God so that we can say we've done them in the name of Jesus Christ, then just write to us at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ at P.O. Box 266 here at Tompkinsville. We'd be happy to send you out some Bible information and tracts. If you perhaps need a ride to worship, or if you need a Bible and don't have one, if there's any way that we can assist you at all, you can also give us a call at 487-5342. And you can come by, of course, and visit us anytime that you have opportunity, Sunday mornings beginning at 9:30, and then also Sunday night at 6 p.m., and also then on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. Thank you so much.